The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each one has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And please stand for today's gospel, taken from St. John chapter 15, verses 26 through chapter 16, verse 4. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, right now we are during the octave, the time during the octave of the Ascension as we prepare for Pentecost. If you stop to consider for a moment, the apostles were told by our Lord to stay in Jerusalem, to pray, until he would send the Holy Ghost. And so they began to pray. And if you notice, there are 10 days from the Ascension to Pentecost Sunday. Which means between those two special feast days, right, you have 9 days. So what we see in sacred scripture is the first novena of prayer. The 9 days of prayer the apostles were told to participate in as they prepared for the coming of the Holy Ghost. So in a true sense, the devotion of novenas is scriptural. But we see the apostles praying. They're persevering. They're told to stay in Jerusalem, to stay, persevere, because they need to pray in order to receive the Holy Ghost, because they are going to be instruments to bring the true faith, the faith of Christ, to the whole world, even to the ends of the earth. So they have to pray because they are going to be instruments, channels of grace to help save other souls. And they had to persevere in their prayer. Do you think after 6 or 7 days they were asking each other, "Where's the Holy Ghost? Well, I don't see him coming. Maybe we should just stop. Maybe it wasn't true." No. They didn't give up. They continued to pray, and our Lord, right? The Holy Ghost who proceeds from both the Father and the Son. He was given on Pentecost Sunday, which is, of course, feast next Sunday. So the apostles, they had to pray. They had to persevere, because they were to be channels of grace to help save other souls. You know, really, this does apply to probably all of us. Because in some way, we can be sure that the salvation of the souls of other people are somehow connected to each one of us. The salvation of someone's soul is connected to each one of you. If you save your soul, and you're a good example, right? You will be like that channel of grace, an instrument by which God will bring the truth and the grace to other souls. But if you are a bad example, you don't persevere in your faith, perhaps someone else will lose his soul too. We are channels of grace. Right? And first of all, this applies, as we saw in the scripture today, to the apostles. If they weren't faithful to what God commanded them to do, think of the countless souls that would not have had the faith preached to them. And then this applies to all the religious, all the priests, all the bishops of Rome, because we have to be faithful to that, because we are instruments through which God wants to work in order to help save souls. But we can make it one step farther, and that is to parents. Right? Parents, you are a channel of grace for your children. You are an instrument of salvation for your children. Now, God can save your children without you. Right? But normally, the grace of God will work into your family, right, through you, through mom and dad. And so we try our very best to help sanctify the marriage, sanctify the family. Right? See, that's where the grace will come through mom and dad. Right? To help the children. I mean, imagine, parents, you look at your children inside your home. Right? You see them at the table, you see them playing and coloring at the table and playing outside. And do you ever think to yourself, when you ask the question, I wonder if one of my little boys is going to go to heaven? Do you think my little girl is going to be saved and go to heaven? Or do you think, will she be lost forever? Right? That probably goes through the mind of every parent, and it should go through the mind of parents. Right? Are our children going to be saved? Are they going to make it and go to heaven? Or will they be lost in hell forever? Right? So you can be sure, I mean, I'm sure that mom and dad have done that many times, and they look at each other, right? The husband and wife look at each other and they ask that question and they say, we're going to do everything in our power to help our children go to heaven. Right? We need to be a channel of grace for our children to help save them. Right? So they have the good example. So they have the knowledge of the true faith. They see the example of forgiveness and charity and perseverance and prayer. So parents, right? And of course it refers to all of us who have people under our care. Not only parents, not only priests, but sometimes the older brothers and sisters. Sometimes when parents have to leave the house for a time, they put the older sister in charge to babysit. So she has to be a good example, that older sister, with the older brother, and take care of those younger brothers and sisters, not to lead them astray. Same thing with teachers, or anybody who is in charge of those of souls under their care. They are instruments of the grace of God, channels of grace. And we have to remember, right, that the salvation of other souls, right, is connected to each one of us. And so when we die and go before God, if the souls that God has entrusted to us, if they have been lost because of our negligence, we will have to answer for them too. Boy, parents. And children, when you look at your mom and dad, you love your mom and dad. I mean, you ever have the thought, what happens if mom and dad, if they don't make it to heaven? That's a very sad thought. You would never want to think that. You want your mom and dad to be in heaven. So in a sense too, children should pray for their parents too. They can obtain graces for their mom and dad to help them get to heaven. Sure. Don't they want to see their mom and dad in heaven? Absolutely. So children have to pray. The parents then, as a channel of grace for the children, need to persevere in their prayers. They can't give up. Right? Why do people give up in their prayers sometimes? Right? Why do they stop in their prayers? Well, probably because they don't see any results yet. Right? They don't see any results. So imagine though, if St. Monica had stopped her prayers after a few months. She was praying for her son, Augustine, who had gone astray. She prayed and prayed and persevered for, what was it, over 20 years? Finally her son converted. And if she hadn't persevered, Augustine would never have become St. Augustine, the great doctor of the church, right? Doctor of grace, St. Augustine. And there are so many other examples of the perseverance. If we stop our prayers, we don't persevere. We won't have the grace. Remember the time of Christmas when Our Lady and St. Joseph brought the child Jesus and Simeon held him in his arms in the temple. And at that moment there was a holy woman named Anna who came into the temple. And she was a widow. She had lost her husband years and years ago and she was all by herself. She was very sad and lonely, but she went to the church every day and prayed. What would have happened if she said on that day, well, I don't feel like going to church to pray today because God's not answering my prayers. Nothing's working out right for me. Well, if she hadn't gone to the temple that day to pray, she would not have seen the Christ child. But as it was, she persevered in her prayers, and she was there that day and she saw the Christ child. God gave her the special grace. What was another cause of people not persevering in their prayer? Well, yes, they feel that, oh, God's not answering my prayers, or perhaps even just as frequently, maybe someone has fallen into a bad life, right? Maybe into a bad habit, falling into a sin, or they aren't making progress in the spiritual life. And so they feel in their own heart, well, what's the use? They start becoming depressed with themselves. Oh, I can't do it. I pray and God doesn't help me. Or I keep doing the wrong thing and, you know, why should God help me anyway? I'm not a good person. I don't deserve any help from God. So they say, well, why pray anymore? So they stop praying. Oh, we can't do that. We can't let that happen. You know, remember Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was not Saint Mary Magdalene her whole life, you know. Mary Magdalene was a very bad sinner, such that everybody in the whole town, everybody in the whole city knew that she was a bad woman, a bad girl. They all knew. So she said, what's the use of trying to be good? I've lost my reputation. So what? So what? Right? Miss Mary Magdalene came before our Lord. Our Lord looked into her eyes and washed her clean. And she didn't care what people thought anymore, because now she knew in her heart that Christ has forgiven her, and now she can go to heaven. She has hope. She became a great saint, the model of all penitents, of each one of us. When we have to be sorry for our sins, we turn to look at St. Mary Magdalene, how she persevered, no matter what kind of life she had before her, what other people thought of her, she didn't care. She made up for all that bad example by the rest of her life of good example. That's what all we have to do. Let people see that we've changed. So we can all persevere. There's no reason to give up, right? Our Lord is there to wash away our sins, right? There's no need to feel as though that we've done things that are so bad that God won't forgive, right? Our Lord is there to forgive us and to help us. But in conclusion then, as we mentioned earlier, let us remember that each one of us, we have souls that are attached to us in some way, souls that will be saved, right, in connection with our prayers, with our good example, with our influence. Right? With our influence. Right? I remember one time a story of this young girl in a college, one of the traditional colleges down in California. And she was a real pretty girl, cute girl, very outgoing, but it was a kind of a conservative Catholic college. And she was there at the school, and she was kind of dressed, she would dress a little bit immodestly. And so some of the boys, they felt, you know, they really liked her, but they felt a little bit tempted or that it wasn't a good example for her. So one of the boys got the courage of and talked to her privately and said, you know, we really like you so much, but, you know, when you dress like that, and it kind of makes a temptation for us. And anyway, she went home and then she cried. She thought about it. She says, you know, I love all my friends. I don't want to be a bad example to them. And so she immediately wanted to change that example. She became a good example in all of her clothes and a conversation and all that, and started different little organizations for the young adults in the school, and became very holy. And one day, unfortunately, sometime after that, they were hiking up in the mountains, and she fell off the side of a cliff. I don't know how far down, onto her back, and became paralyzed and was fatal injury. And they brought her to the hospital, and she was still cheerful and loved her friends and prayed for them, and she died. Well, what a life, though. I mean, she changed her life, gave herself to our Lord, and it was a good example to her friends, both the boys and the other girls. And she had an accident. She's probably in heaven, right? So, all we have to do is look to the examples of people like this. And this is a real, everyday, normal person, right? Going to college, right? It's an example for all boys, all girls. Just try to be a good example, right? And persevere, because what you say may affect somebody else. If you say something good and you give a good example, it will touch the hearts of other people. Like that young boy who had the courage, because he liked this girl so much, he had a word of admonition. And it touched her soul and she changed. Probably became a saint. And it helped all the other boys and girls to become close in that little college as well. Right? So parents, remember that you are channels of grace for your children, instruments of salvation for your boys and girls. Husbands, right? First, you're our channel of grace for the salvation of your wife, too. Because the husband's the head of the family. Father's the head of the home. Right? So be sanctified. Be close to our Lord. And we want to help our children. What's the best way to help the children? We saw in other sermons before. The knowledge of the truth, knowledge of what is right and wrong, is not enough. We all know what is right and wrong, and for some reason, through weakness or temptation or exhaustion or whatever it might be, we still do what is wrong sometimes. And we know it's wrong. So it's not just a question of knowing right and wrong. We have to want to be good. We want to avoid the evil. So parents, you need to obtain that grace for the kids, for your children. Merit the grace for them. Right? It's even if they're still little children, little babies, you can still merit the grace for them. As you save that grace up for them as they get older, they can draw from the grace that you have merited for your boys and girls. Because God only knows. They've got to go into the world, don't they? They have to go out in that world. They have to use their own free will to choose good and to resist evil. Well, we can't shelter them completely so that they don't have any opportunity to make acts of virtue by which they choose the good and resist the evil. I mean, God demands that of each one of us. So parents have to be wise, use their wisdom, use their prudence to allow their children to grow up normally within normal boundaries, where they're going to be exposed to something and see some problems in the world, but where they can choose good and resist the evil. Slowly build up their virtue, right? So they can fight the temptation and struggle and persevere, right? Not to give up. How many times we see, sadly, you know, the kids are good all the way through grade school and high school, they're protected, then they go into, they'll come back from college and they've lost the faith. Well, they're no longer living a good life anymore. They just go astray. Is that what we're doing? Our kids are all going astray once they leave our home? I mean, eventually mom and dad know they have to let the kids go. They have to grow up. They have to go into the world. So we need to help our children to be able to want to be good on their own. Not simply because mom and dad said. To be good on their own because Christ said. Because Christ has promised us heaven if we are faithful to Him. And we want to go to heaven. At all costs. And it's important for the boys and girls to have the same conviction. So they can still be good whether or not their mom or dad are watching them. Right? They have to go into the world. So let us help our children to have the grace they need to be good. You know, imagine a football player, a young man, who wants to play football. Well, he's got to go work out with weights. He's got to run. He has to exercise. And those who go into the army, they got to go to boot camp. They have to exercise themselves to have the strength, physical, psychological, emotional strength. Well, same thing in our spiritual life. We have to exercise our soul in the choosing of good and the resisting of evil. That's the exercise, the spiritual exercise. So let us all make those good efforts, right? Let the children see those efforts being made in mom and dad. Right? They see that example in their mom and dad, choosing good, resisting evil with the kindness and the forgiveness and understanding. And the children will imitate their mom and dad. They'll try their best. If the children see mom and dad have their faults and sometimes they have their sins, well, the children will realize, well, mom and dad are human too. I'll pray for them. I'll pray for mom and dad. I'll pray for mom. I'll pray for dad. And the little boys and girls will go into the room and say some Hail Marys for their mom and dad. Well, sure. And then the children can help their parents as well. So let us turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let us ask her to obtain for us the grace of perseverance, to realize that through our example, right, we are the channel of grace, and through our example we can touch the hearts of others and help them come to God. Well, for a bad example, hopefully not, we might push them away from God. So let us ask Our Lady to obtain for us the grace to persevere in our prayer, never to give up, to pray because God deserves to be adored and loved. Even if we don't see any results here and now, still, God deserves to be adored and loved by us, so let's pray anyway. And let us be close to our Lord. The best way to be a channel of grace, parents, for your children, is to become a saint. Then the grace of God works right through you. Right? A conductor, like a conductor of electricity. It'll go right through you. The grace of God goes right through you as an instrument and will touch the hearts of your boys and girls. And for the husbands, it'll help touch the heart of your wife. And the wife, it'll help touch the heart of your husband. Right? We need to be a channel of grace. So pray for that grace, and during these next few days, let us be united in this little novena to the Holy Ghost. That He will give us the graces we need next Sunday. Right? And we will be praying for the special graces that we need for our marriages, for our families, for our boys and girls, our brothers, sisters, those who may have gone astray, for mom and dad, for the priests and the bishops. Let us pray that the Holy Ghost will come and give us His special gifts during this time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.